little bit of testimony, and I'm going to be sharing some things that God has really impressed upon my heart the last, few years, I would say. And something that I would say God's taught me. And I believe it's something that every child of God needs to get a hold of. And I truly mean this. Been in church all my life, saved when I was 9 years old. If God allows me to live to this July, I've been in the ministry 30 years, pastored 4 churches. And I believe this is a need. I really do. And we'll talk more about it in just a second. But Psalm 130, let's read, read 2 verses there. The psalmist writes this, starting in verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And that's what I want you to see. And in his word do I hope. And then in verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning, the watchmen in the night, he's saying. I say more than they that watch for the morning. But again, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. This is real. This is deep with the psalmist. I mean, this is not some fleeting thought. He believes this. He said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Go back to Psalm 33, if you would, quickly, and we'll look at a couple of verses there, and we'll start bearing our heart concerning what we believe the Lord's given us here, or taught us. In Psalm 33, we'll look at verses 3 through 9, and the psalmist says there in Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9, not 3 through 9, I'm sorry. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Do I have you in the right place? Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. All right, one other place, just to look at it from the New Testament perspective. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 11. He says there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it says, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith sees it as if it already is, all right? I mean, it's just that substantive, okay? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And, of course, this is if he goes on to talk about by faith and the Faith Hall of Fame and of course, what you'll find here is that in this Faith Hall of Fame, the main thing that he is teaching us, that God is teaching us here, is that faith always acts, okay? If it's real faith, it's acted upon. So if those that say they have faith and they don't act upon it, that's not real faith. There was action that followed the faith of every one of these in the Faith Hall of Fame, and that's just a little sidebar. But verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. By the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that simply means that God made this world with nothing. He just spoke it and it was. Now what that tells us is this. There is power in the Word of God. Is that not correct? I mean, this building was built, but it was material that was accumulated and brought together to build this building. But this universe, and let me do this real quick. I was going to teach on something else, as I told you. And in this other lesson, I had a stat that I was going to read to you, or some facts and figures, not necessarily a stat. Let me read this to you. This will let you know just how vast this universe is and how awesome our God is. And you'll find this in a book entitled Let the Nations Be Glad. And listen as I read, because there's some mind-shattering, if you please, information that illustrates the power of our Creator God. Now, we really are just a little speck compared to all of this. But listen to, and as I read this, think about just how powerful God's Word is. Because we've already established from His Word that He created all of this just with His Word, right? From nothing all of this was made. He just spoke it and it was so. Now listen, scientists know, and I'm quoting from this book, scientists know that light travels at the speed of 5.87 trillion miles a year. That's pretty fast, right? 5.87 trillion miles a year. That's how fast light travels. They also know that the galaxy of which our solar system is a part is about 100,000 light years in diameter. 100,000 light years at 5.87 trillion miles a year? Pretty big, right? Also know that the galaxy of which our solar system is part is about 100,000 light years in diameter. About 587,000 trillion miles. It is one of about a million such galaxies in the optical range, this is important, in the optical range of our most powerful telescopes. So that's verifiable, okay? It has been estimated that in our galaxy there are more than 200 billion stars. And can I remind you, God's Word says that He's named every one of them. 200 billion stars. The sun is one of them, a modest star burning at about 6,000 degrees centigrade on the surface and traveling in an orbit of 135 miles per second, which means it will take it about 250 million years to complete a revolution around the galaxy. Now, all of that was spoken into existence by our God, created from nothing, just God's Word. Is God's Word powerful? Amen. Now, he goes on to say, and I'll just give you this little footnote, because this really kind of maybe arrested my attention and convicted me a little bit, because it's such a truth. He said, scientists know these things, and they're awed by them. How vast and awesome all of this is. They're in awe by it. And they say if there is a personal God, as the Christians say, who spoke this universe into being, then there is a certain respect and reverence and wonder and dread that would have to come through when we as Christians talk about Him and when we worship Him. You know what they're saying? They're saying, based on what they know, we ought to be a little more serious about this God that we say created all this. They're saying, based upon what they know, that they ought to see a little bit more real worship in our lives, because they know just how vast and how awesome all of this is. And they're saying, if, of course that's as a non-believer, if there's a personal God that created all of this, that God deserves to be feared, reverenced, worshiped, praised. And when we speak of Him, there ought to be a little bit of excitement and realness in what we're talking about. And I, as a preacher, would add to that and say, if we really believe in this God, it ought to get us to church, and it ought to get us in the Word, and it ought to get us on our knees, and it ought to get the Word out of us to others. But I'm talking to you about the power of God. And the power of God's Word. I'm sorry, not the power of God. I was going to talk on the power of God. But I'm talking to you about the power of God's Word. Because His Word created all of this. Now, Here's what I have come to know, and if you're not careful, you'll respond to this rather shallowly with an amen or a yes, and nothing wrong with that. I'm not telling you not to, but I want you to get the magnitude of it. The Word of God, and I'm not just talking about something bound in leather, but I'm talking about what is bound in leather. Okay, I'm talking about the content, the very Word itself. The Word of God is a gift to you and I. It is absolutely a gift to you and I. And I believe that we need to recognize the power of God's Word. It is a gift that God has given to us. And when we understand that, it's no marvel that the psalmist said, "Oh, how I love thy law." I mean, a gift is something we appreciate. Amen. Somebody thinks enough of us to bestow a gift on us. And God has given us a gift in giving us the Word of God. And so we can say with the psalmist this morning, "Oh, how I love thy law. I love your Word, God." The song, "Through It All," says, "Through it all I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His Word." And can I tell you, that's where God wants to get us, to the place that we really depend upon His Word. And if we'd be honest with ourselves, we may not depend upon His Word as much as we should. It's where He's working to get us to depend upon His Word through it all. Amen. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. It's one of the things God's trying to accomplish when He allows the trials in our life that we have to go through. Through it all, He wants us to learn, not just to read the Word, but to depend upon the Word. This Word is quick and powerful, the Bible says, sharper than any two-edged sword. But it's powerful. Again, this Word that we read is the Word created all of the vastness that we are just a little speck of. All of the vastness. The Word is powerful. And as believers, we are to love the Word, and we do love the Word. I mean, the Lord even says that one of the ways we know that we love Him is by how we keep His commandments. That's proof, again, real faith has action with it. And that's how it's proof that we love Him and love His Word. But as believers, we love God's Word. And as believers, we read God's Word. And as believers, we study God's Word. And I've seen that through the years, and I've experienced it in my life. And we like to understand God's Word, and we should, because so much is built upon our understanding. We meditate on God's Word, not as much as we should and not as much as Christians used to. But still, it's one of the things that we do with the Word. We meditate upon it, and we should, and we oftentimes do memorize it. Isn't that right? I mean, probably everybody in the building could quote at least one verse this morning. We memorize the Word of God, and that's a good thing. I'm not downplaying that. But I do want to say this. We need to understand that it isn't just an instrument or maybe I should say an instruction manual. It's a love letter. It's not just an instruction manual. It's a love letter. It's a source. And it is a source for strength, and it is a source for defense. So I have no problem understanding that Christians love it, that they meditate upon it, they read it, they study it, they listen to it, they try to understand it, they oftentimes memorize it. But the one thing that we're commanded to do that I'm telling you we seldom do, and that is use the Word of God. We don't use the Word of God like God wants us to. Can I remind you again? His Word is powerful. Is that not correct? And is it not true that the God that we're here worshiping today, the God we love, the God that created all of this, is it not true that God holds all power? And so the Word is powerful, and that God that says it's powerful and that tells us about all of this tells us He cannot lie. Isn't that right? And so this love letter, this source of strength, this source of defense, God wants us to use it. It is absolutely our weapon of defense, or maybe I should really say of offense. Of offense. My wife, and I said there would be some testimony in this, my wife, I will tell you, years ago when we'd been married a couple of years, and my wife and I separated, she didn't love me anymore, and all of this, and the devil was wreaking havoc, and our little girl was about 2 years old, and my brother and I was building a house for my oldest sister, and I was fasting and praying that God would put our home and our marriage back together, and I felt even then that God's call was on my life, and that God was dealing with me about preaching, and I'd been running from God for a long time because it horrified me to speak in front of folks, and I said, I just can't do it, God, and so I ran from God for a long time, but I was fasting and praying, and I was reading my Bible one night when I got home from work, and as I was reading my Bible, I came to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. And it says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." I spun around off the couch and got on my knees right there, brother, and I said, "God, I didn't say that, you said that." And I said, "God, that's your word, and you cannot lie. And God, I'm praying right now and taking you at your word, and God, it's going to take a miracle, but I need you to put my marriage back together." And can I tell you that I went by on a Wednesday night after this, and where she was staying with her mother, and a total change of heart just by her saying, "I'm going to go to church with you tonight." And she went to church with me. And it was either that service or the next service we were leaving, and she said, "I'm coming home tomorrow." I'm talking about the power of God's Word. Well, August was 2 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she has chosen to not do chemo, not do radiation, to just go the natural route and trust God, and it's the only thing God's given her peace about. And so I'm behind her, whatever she wants to do. And I think that's the way it should be. I'm not in her shoes. She is. Well, things were going well. And on Wednesday night, some weeks ago now, it wasn't Wednesday. It was prior to Wednesday, or may have been that Wednesday. It was before Wednesday night, let me say. She called me, and the doctor's office had drawn some blood. And she said, "The doctor's office called, and there's a marker. And I don't remember the name of it, but there's a marker that's elevated, and that can mean that it is metastasized, cancer's metastasized to, I think it's the liver, the bone, the brain, a couple of those areas, if not all three of those areas." And she said they said that, you know, I needed to wait a few weeks or a couple months or whatever, come back in, and they want to do more blood work. And she said, "But I've already called them. I want to go back in as soon as I can. I want to know." Well, that Wednesday night, as I stood and taught there in the church where I was pastoring at the time, I looked back at her and I could just see on her face what would be on your face and what would have been on my face. And it hurt me for her. And that night I prayed before I went to bed, and wee hours of the morning I woke up and I got up and I went to the living room. It was about 20 after 2. And I spent about 2 hours praying and reading my Bible and talking to God. And can I say something to you? And I don't want you to take it the wrong way. I just want you to take it the right way. I just took God at His word. And I came across this verse again. God directed me to it. And I got out on my knees and I started pouring my heart out to God. But God started showing me some verses that night. And again, rekindling the thought that We don't just need to read the Word. We don't just need to memorize the Word. We don't just need to study the Word. We don't just need to say, I love the Word. We don't just need to listen to the Word preached. But we need to use the Word. It's powerful. And we don't do that a lot. And quite frankly, we aren't taught that a lot. I just started teaching that recently. But we should use the Word. Now, let's get a proper spiritual mindset real quick, and I know I've got to hurry here, but in Psalm, I'm just going to read some verses to you. In Psalm 31:19, the Bible says, oh, how great is thy goodness, talking about God, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. How great is thy goodness, God, that thou hast laid up for your children, those that fear you. God's goodness toward his children, the psalmist says, is great. It's great, and he says it's a great goodness, and it's laid up for us. It's stacked up. It's piled up. Teaching is as if there's a storehouse of goodness. I mean, it's just stocked with goodness for God's children. So this God that we serve is not only a great God and a powerful God. Hey, listen, he wants to do great things for his children. God really does want to display his power. In Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Word. The Word. He says, if you'll let your hope be based upon my Word, which by the way is all powerful, that spoke all of this into existence. If you'll let your hope be based upon my Word, he says, it'll bring courage, and that courage will bring strength. If we'll just accept and believe and practice the fact that this Word is powerful, God said it, that settles it, God cannot lie, and live our life based upon and draw strength from the fact that when God gives it to us, when God says a thing, God means a thing. Amen. Faith. Trust. Knowing that without faith it's impossible to please Him. And God wants us to know that he cannot lie. And really, if that is true, then we may think one thing, but if it's contrary to the Word of God, we need to line up with the Word of God, right? Somebody may say one thing, somebody may tell us one thing, but if that does not line up with the Word of God, it don't matter what they told us, we got God's Word on it, which is way more powerful. Correct? The Word of the one, may I remind you, who is in control. The Word of the one that runs it all. That Word. We hope. And because we have hope, we have courage. And because we have courage, it gives us the strength that we need to face whatever we have to face. But it starts with a proper mindset. We don't just believe in God. We believe what God's Word says. Every word of it. The pilgrims, when they would ascend upon Jerusalem 3 or 4 times a year for special feast times, as they would ascend up about a 2,700-foot elevation, they would see the hills in the background of the temple, but it was the temple that they were looking at. And keep that in mind when these words were penned, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And when you think about those verses, there's several things we see there. Number one, our responsibility and our privilege. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And they're talking about focusing on God. They were going to the temple to meet with God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. What a privilege to be able to lift up our eyes unto God. Amen. What a privilege. And then we see our reason for looking, from whence cometh my help. That's why I look to God. That's where my help comes from. Is that correct? Isn't he the one that sustains us? Isn't he the one that takes care of us? Isn't he the one that provides for us? From whence cometh my help? And then we see our confidence and our comfort when he says, my help cometh from the Lord. It comes. Not just that it can come from him, but it does come from him. Right? And then fourthly here, we see our reassurance. The one that this help comes from, the one that we look to, he's the one that made the heaven and the earth. Now he's reminding us of the fact that we're looking to the right source, amen. He's reminding us, the psalmist is reminding us of the power that this one has that we're looking to help us. He's the one that created all of this. Now, an interesting verse that we preachers have used a lot, and it has such power. Isaiah penned the words, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, unto him void." Now get that, keep that in mind. "It shall not return unto me void," God is saying, "but it shall accomplish. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Now, there's several things in that verse. Number one, God's word came from his mouth. Number two, the word was sent by God. It was sent by God. And number three, it was sent with a purpose. He said, to accomplish. Now, God doesn't fail at what God does, right? It was sent with a purpose to accomplish. And he says, it will not return unto him void. And that means empty or unfulfilled. Now, I'm trying to tell you that there is power in the Word of God. I'm trying to teach us this morning that we need to learn to use the Word of God. Not just read it, memorize it, say we believe it, use it. Now there's a reason why we should use it. Because God tells us to. Let me show you something interesting. Go to, and I preach a whole message on this. Go to Isaiah 59, if you will, real quick. And we're going to parallel that with Ephesians chapter 6. And you'll know why in just a moment. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Ephesians first, if you would. Ephesians 1, chapter 6 in Ephesians. Very familiar passage, and I'll read through this as quickly as I can because I got about 5 minutes, but I want to drive this truth home. Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We really are in a battle. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." It's the only way we can stand in his power and in his might, as verse 10 says. Be strong in the power of his might. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith." Now that's important, above all. Paul's saying all this other is important. You need it all. But if you want to leave off any piece, don't leave this piece off. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Now, you got to have that faith in order to use the word of God. And he says, if you leave off any piece, don't you dare leave off faith. Because everything else is predicated upon that faith. But he says that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. "And take the helmet of salvation," which Thessalonians calls that the hope of salvation. "And take the helmet of salvation." And by the way, if the devil's going to cause you to doubt your salvation, it's in the mind. So put on that hope of salvation, which is the helmet of salvation. In other words, take God at his word. "And the sword of the Spirit." Look now, the only offensive piece in this whole armor, the sword of the Spirit. And I know you pastors taught you that. Which is what? The word of God. So God says, use the word of God against the principalities, the powers, the wiles of the devil, the wickedness that comes against you. Use the word of God. Now, you use the word of God by believing with every fiber of your being that God said. And what did Jesus do when he was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil? He gave him the word, right? Because the devil's a liar, and he's been so from the beginning. But God isn't. And Jesus came to give us life, and that more abundantly. And Jesus, who is God, used the word against the devil, used it, an offensive weapon. And we too are to use the word. So whenever God says a thing, we can believe that it means what it said. And no matter what the devil comes and whispers to us, or no matter what somebody else tells us, if that's contrary to the Word of God, God says use the Word. Isn't that right? I hadn't missed anything, have I? God says use the Word. Jesus gives us the example. He used the Word. Now, in Isaiah chapter 59, quickly, starting in verse 17, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak." Now, you see how this starts out, sounds a lot like Ephesians 6. That's because there's a parallel here. "According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun." Now, this is the part you want to get to. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." You know what that standard is? That standard is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And so in the New Testament, God says, when that enemy comes in like a flood, lift the standard up against him. Use the Word of God. Claim the Word of God. Repeat the Word of God. Share the Word of God. Now I'm telling you, the devil will bombard us, or his emissaries will bombard us. And there's going to be many obstacles and many situations and many circumstances that he will bring in your life, and he's going to do his best. He's going to do his best to use that to discourage you. He's going to do his best to use that to defeat you. And can I tell you something? The moment we start listening to the devil over God, we're defeated. The moment we quit trusting God and believing God and standing on the Word of God, we're defeated. And we're all susceptible. Because as your pastor has just recently said in a conversation with me, we're all flesh. We all battle the same flesh. And we're all susceptible to the same things. It matters not that I'm a preacher. I can tell you, I've failed miserably in this area many times. I've listened to the devil instead of listening to God. I've doubted instead of believing. I've known the verse, but I haven't used the verse. But God says, use it. And let me say quickly, and I'm stopping. If you have faith and doubt not, Matthew says, he says it shall be done. Now, I like what I heard a preacher say not too long ago. He's a TV preacher, but I like this statement. Made sense to me. He read that verse, and he says, if you have faith and doubt not, it shall be done. He says, when are we going to start believing what God says about us? That's a good thought, right? When are we going to start believing what God says about us? Now, God says we can do some things, but we find reasons to reason that right out of the picture. After all, we don't want to make God look bad if God doesn't do what we think His Word says that He will do if we do. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we do that in our praying. We don't have a lot of confidence in our praying, so we want to make sure we don't make God look bad. But when God says a thing, God means a thing. Let me give you this verse and I'll say some things and we're through. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, the Bible says. I can't tell you how many times I've had to use that verse. When the enemy has come in like a flood, and I've said, God, this is what you tell me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's your word. Devil, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I'm one of God's children. I'm one of His servants. Now, either we can believe God's word or not, right? Now, I know this is kind of plain, and I have many verses I want to give you, but I run out of time, and I'm not going to keep you. But let me tell you this, and God knows I'm telling you the truth, and I wouldn't tell you anything but the truth. And if I would, you can believe your pastor wouldn't have me here this morning. I got on my knees. God gave me many verses, and I was going to share something with you, some of them with you, but I ran out of time. God gave me many verses. I got down on my knees. I thanked God for His Word. I thanked God for the power of His Word. I thank God for the assurance that I can have because of His Word. I thank God because when He says something, He sends that word out to accomplish something, and it will not return unto Him void. Now, our problem is we just don't really believe God sometimes. Am I right?
Amen.
I'm right. And I'm telling you, I read when he said there that if we'll have faith and doubt not, it would be done. I read again the verse where he said, if we'll pray with faith, I wrote